19. The accident. Tack it up, buddy, gonna shut you down. The Beach Boys. That was the last time I talked to Arnie, really talked to him, until Thanksgiving. Because the following Saturday was the day I got hurt. That was the day we played the Ridge Rock Bears again. And this time we lost by the truly spectacular score of 46-3. I wasn't around at the end of the game, however. About 7 minutes into the third quarter, I got into the open, took a pass, and was setting myself to run when I was hit simultaneously by three Bears defensive linemen. There was an instant of terrible pain, a bright flare as if I had been caught on ground zero of a nuclear blast. Then there was a lot of darkness. Things stayed dark for a fairly long time, although it didn't seem long to me. I was unconscious for about 50 hours, and when I woke up late on the afternoon of Monday, the 23rd of October, I was in Libertyville Community Hospital. My dad and mom were there. So was Ellie, looking pale and strained. There were dark brown circles under her eyes, and I was absurdly touched. She had found it in her heart to cry for me, in spite of all the Twinkies and Yodels I had hooked out of the bread box after she went to bed. In spite of the time, when she was 12, that I had given her a little bag of Vigoro after she had spent about a week looking at herself sideways in the mirror with her tightest T-shirt on so she could see if her boobs were getting any bigger, she had burst into tears, and my mother had been super pissed at me for almost 2 weeks, in spite of all the teasing and the shitty little I'm one up on you sibling games. Arnie wasn't there when I woke up, but he joined my family shortly. He and Lee had been down in the waiting room. That evening, my aunt and uncle from Albany showed up. And the rest of that week was a steady parade of family and friends. The entire football team showed up, including Coach Puffer, who looked as if he had aged about 20 years. I guess he had found out there were worse things than a losing season. Coach was the one who broke the news to me that I was never going to play football again. And I don't know what he expected. For me to bust out crying or maybe have hysterics? From the drawn, tense look on his face. But I didn't have much of a reaction at all, inwardly or outwardly. I was just glad to be alive and to know I would walk again eventually. If I had been hit just once, I probably could have bounced right up and gone back for more. But the human body was never meant to get creamed from three different angles at the same time. Both of my legs were broken, the left in two places. My right arm had whipped around behind me when I went down, and I had sustained a nasty green stick fracture of the forearm. But all of that was really only the icing on the cake. I had also got a fractured skull and sustained what the doctor in charge of my case kept calling a lower spinal accident, which seemed to mean that I had come within about a centimeter of being paralyzed from the waist down for the rest of my life. I got a lot of visitors, a lot of flowers, a lot of cards. All of it was in some ways very enjoyable, like being alive to help celebrate your own week. But I also got a lot of pain and a lot of nights when I couldn't sleep. I got an arm suspended over my body by weights and pulleys, likewise a leg. They both seemed to itch all the time under the casts. And a temporary cast, what is called a pressor cast, around my lower back. And, of course, I got the prospect of a long hospital stay and endless trips in a wheelchair to that chamber of horrors so innocently labeled the therapy wing. Oh, and one other thing. I got a lot of time. I read the paper. I asked questions of my visitors, and on more than a few occasions, as things went on and my suspicions began to get out of hand, I asked myself if I might not be losing my mind. I was in the hospital until Christmas, and by the time I got home, my suspicions had almost taken their final shape. I was finding it more and more difficult to deny that monstrous shape, and I knew damned well I wasn't losing my mind. In some ways, it would have been better, more comforting, if I could have believed that. By then I was badly frightened, and more than half in love with my best friend's girl as well. Time to think. Too much time. Time to call myself 100 names for what I was thinking about Lee. Time to look up at the ceiling of my room and wish I had never heard of Arnie Cunningham, or Lee Cabot, or of Christine.